Our text is from the Psalms, Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the midweek meditations, I have emphasized two common themes: that the Psalms speak about Jesus, and that because the Psalms speak about Jesus, they therefore also speak about you. In baptism, you are joined to the Lord and now become one, as the scriptures say. We can therefore think of Psalm 41 in part as a biographical sketch about you. Psalm 41 tells both your story and mine as surely as it tells the history of our Lord. But Psalm 41 was written by King David, which means the psalm also gives us a deeper understanding of David. And in our verse tonight, he writes, "Even my close friend," said David, "in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." David might have been thinking or talking about Absalom, his most handsome and charming son. Absalom grew up on King David's knee. Absalom ate his father's bread at his father's table. Absalom enjoyed his father's generous and reconciling love and received every comfort in his father's house. Absalom also harbored a temper and held a grudge that led him to conspire against his father and murder his own brother. Absalom tried to overthrow his father and occupy the throne of Israel for himself. In the figure of speech expressed in Psalm 41, Absalom lifted his heel against David. Didn't really say that. And he was knocked hard by the blow. Think of the various muscles in the human body. Hardly any physical blow can be exert more impact than a raised heel. A closed fist can certainly do damage, especially when thrown by a strong person with an experienced arm and calloused knuckles. A swung elbow can drop an opponent larger than you, but only if it hits the right target. By comparison, it is very difficult for anyone to receive the uncoiled blow of a raised heel and remain on their feet. Even a petite woman's raised heel can kick like a mule, as the saying goes. The heel explodes out like a cannonball, involving nearly every muscle in the leg. Absalom lifted his heel against David. Absalom laid low the one who had lifted him up and had given him every good thing. Judas Iscariot did the same thing to Jesus, our Lord. As it is written in Matthew 26, one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him, the Christ, over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Judas did that terrible thing because he held malice towards Jesus. Inexplicable malice towards Jesus, who had given Judas every good thing. John 13:29, when traveling together with the disciples, Jesus entrusted to Judas all the finances of the entire group. We read in Matthew 10:8, when Jesus sent out his disciples and gave them his own divine power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. The gracious ordaining hand of our Lord was gently laid also on Judas Iscariot's head. On the night Jesus was betrayed, as you heard in tonight's gospel, Jesus knelt even before Judas and humbly washed his feet along with the rest of the disciples. Jesus likewise served Judas the Holy Communion of Christ's body and blood, given and shed even for the sins of Judas. Our Lord knew beforehand. He knew from the scriptures of the Old Testament, whether it's in Zechariah or in Psalms, who would betray him. Jesus faithfully loved his betrayer nonetheless. Judas fulfilled in the life of Christ what King David had earlier experienced and written in Psalm 41. Even my closest friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. David likewise wrote in another psalm concerning Jesus, I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother. Yet again, David said in another psalm, in speaking words concerning our Christ, it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolent with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng of worshipers. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. Even my close friend in whom I trusted. Those words are indeed about David, who suffered the betrayal of his beloved son Absalom, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Those words are likewise about Jesus, the true and messianic son of David, whom God had promised. And because those words are about Jesus, they are also about you. You are baptized of Christ and one body with him. As I ponder, what would the emotions be, or what are the emotions when such a betrayal happens? What can they evoke? And perhaps maybe the strangest and strongest is loneliness. Betrayal can make you feel abandoned and alone. Betrayal can focus your thoughts upon only that one lost friend, rather than all the other friends who have remained faithful. David wrote Psalm 41 about himself, and he wrote it about our Christ, in part so that we would be able to draw comfort from the ancient fact that we are not alone. We are in good company when we are betrayed by those whom we have made our equal, our companion, our familiar friend. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Many people can read those lonely words as a biographical sketch. Life in this dreary world assures us that we shall each eventually get to a point where we can see ourselves in this story. I know how my betrayers have made me desolate. Who has betrayed you? Again, I think of the muscles of the human body. Our betrayers have the power to kick like a mule, bowl us over, and lay us low. But our Lord Jesus and our forefather David can help us with that threat. Absalom dealt his father David a harsh blow that laid him low. But David survived. He rose up to his feet by the power of God. And he sat down again on the throne that had been given and promised to him by his master and redeemer. Judas Iscariot likewise dealt our Lord Jesus a mighty blow, laying him low in the depths of the grave. Jesus rose again from the dead. God crowned him with glory and honor because of the suffering of death and because he loved not his life even unto death. Thus Jesus could say to his Father in heaven, in the words of his father David, in the closing words of Psalm 41. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Those are your words. David said those words. Jesus said those words. You've been given God's Spirit that you might likewise say those words. I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. We won't pretend. We shall not pretend. Those who have betrayed us have indeed hurt us, having raised their heel against us. We shall not pretend. The pain and the shame and the loneliness can be undeniably great, but those things shall remain only for a little while. The Lord your God shall vindicate you and raise you up and set you above your enemies all around, even those who have betrayed you and raised their heel against you. The resurrection of our Lord shall inevitably make it so. To this, we can say with David in the final words of Psalm 41, amen and amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit and with the confidence in the resurrection of our God, we add our amen with certainty and without fear. We say it once because we mean it. We say it twice to intensify and emphasize our hope. This is in keeping with what we learned to say from the Small Catechism. Amen, amen, means yes, yes, it shall be so. Join me as we close our meditation and say amen and amen. Yes, it shall be so together. Amen and amen. Yes, it shall be so. Amen. Amen.